Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This record, it's over already. All right, throw away the Santa hats. It's Michael Savage. I feel like I've been off the air about a year. How long has this been? How long can 4 days last? It's like the eternal 4 days. Airplanes, dinners, people, ties, suits. So here are some headlines I sketched out because I've started watercoloring again. It's the last refuge of the talentless painter, our watercolors. But I'm here in beautiful South Florida, and the water is just gorgeous, the aquamarine. I figured if Barack Obama can spend a $4 million vacation and Nancy Pelosi can spend $10,000 a night on Kona, well, I could sit here and do watercolors. And as I was doing the watercolors today, I started to paint some headlines. Here are some headlines for you. Divisive primary by Republicans boosts Chairman Obama. Gingrich attacking Romney sends Prez soaring. How's this for a postcard? Ron Paul's lunacies sending Obama to stratosphere. Or Kane's enabling disabled campaign. Now, there's very good news out there. Of course, the Republicans will shoot themselves in the foot no matter what happens. Here is a liberal Nebraska Senator, Ben Nelson, one of the pivotal figures in the Obamacare, the passage of Obamacare. He did a deal, a big, big deal for his state. He knows he's unelectable, so he's retiring after about 1,000 years. That's even though he has $3 million in the bank, and there's going to be GOP primary. So Ben Nelson of Nebraska says he's retiring. That should be a wonderful opportunity for the Republicans to come up with a reasonable candidate and not have a divisive primary in the state and sweep in to power a Republican in the Senate and gain the majority. But the fact of the matter is they will not do it. What will happen is exactly what's happening now on a national level. There will be a divisive primary in the state of Nebraska by the foolish Republicans. The Democrats will stay on the sidelines and they will win again. That's exactly what's happening here in the United States of America on a federal level. I told you, I was the first to tell you, I won't be the last to tell you, that Gingrich has destroyed the Republicans' chances of electing Romney. Now, Romney, I know, is very liberal, but I would sleep better at night with a liberal Republican than a communist Democrat with his finger on the button. That's all I can say to you. However, Gingrich being so egomaniacal that he would put himself, which is nothing new, above the nation, let alone above the party, is the reason that the Republicans may not win. Everything Gingrich is doing to destroy Romney is what the Democrats wish they could do but can't do. They don't need an attack dog from the Democrat Party when they have this lunatic, Gingrich, who was out simply to destroy Romney to prove he's a better man. So I made some points for you. We have other things to talk about. And the big thing is this. If you go to my website, and I won't even mention it, you know what it is. It's michaelsavage.com. There's a story that should be shocking to anybody with a semblance of history or whatever. I'm not here to put you down. I understand you're busy and you got your mind on other things like which starlet slipped on a banana peel on Sunset Boulevard, and which man in Hollywood is pretending to be a married man. Islamic Party wants to get rid of idolatrous pyramids. Let me repeat that. The party that Anderson Cooper and the vermin in the media elected in Egypt, the party of the young people with blackberries and dungarees, the party that the vermin in the media like Anderson Cooper, who should be arrested, as far as I'm concerned, for having brought to power one of the most vile results in the history of the Middle East, the Islamists now want to destroy the pyramids of Egypt because they say that they're idolatrous. Now, what does it have to do with anything? Way back when the so-called Arab Spring was being fostered with Soros money, according to my studies, as engineered by Jimmy Carter and Zbigniew Brzezinski and others on the left side of the scale, including Hillary Clinton, and they were telling you it was the Arab Spring, yours truly, Michael Savage, was sitting on this microphone warning you that it would be an Arab winter. And now I'm going to play for you Anderson Cooper, perhaps the stupidest, most dangerous man in the history of the media because he's a useful idiot, gushing over the young men in dungarees back from February 11th, 2011. Listen to the lunatic.
And tonight, this night, this glorious morning in Cairo and throughout Egypt, it is fact. Fear has been defeated in Egypt. This is what liberation looks like.
You schmuck.
This is what joy, long suppressed,
you putz.
Long imprisoned, long tortured and tormented.
You
this
idiot.
This is what joy looks like.
You schmuck.
And sounds like.
Stop. This is what a moron who lives in his own world in West Hollywood sounds like. Glorifying liberation in Egypt when the Islamists have taken over and they want to perform clitorectomies on the Christian girls? And they're killing Christians and blowing up churches. And this idiot is not back there saying he was wrong or reporting on the news. Instead, he's giving you misinformation again. I rest my case. Now you say, well, what did you say, Savage, back in February when Anderson Cooper was gushing about the young men in tight dungarees on the streets of Cairo? You want to hear what I said? February 2011? Here, listen to what I said and tell me who was right and who was wrong. Go ahead.
We strongly believe that the Egyptian government needs to engage immediately with the Egyptian people in implementing needed economic, political, and social reforms.
Now, this very same talk, this utopian idealism, led to the overthrow of the Shah of Iran back in 1980 and the arrival on the scene of a fundamentalist named Ayatollah Khomeini, who had been sent in exile to Paris. He returned to Iran, and he instituted the virus of radical Islam around the globe. The fact of the matter is, if Hillary Clinton doesn't know that, then she's not equipped to be the Secretary of State. If she does know that, then why does she want the same thing to happen in Egypt? I heard a lunatic on MSNBC saying that the evil U.S. government is propping up a dick.
Snuck back in America, the police lose their job.
Savage.
It is 19, almost 20 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation live tonight, of course. While the world sleeps, I am awake, using my God-given brains and my ability to analyze the news to try to awaken America to what is going on under this delusion of liberalism. And it is a delusion, make no mistake about it. The fact of the matter is, back in February, while idiots like Anderson Cooper were gushing over the young men in the streets of Egypt, thinking that they were ushering in generations of freedom, I saw something different. I saw those young men who had been visitors to New York and Berkeley and went back with their Blackberries. I saw them as tools of the Islamists, and I said so. Now you'd say, all right, he's just a schmuck on CNN. What do you expect? He's just a fair-haired face. What are you making such a big deal out of it? And you'd be right. He's nothing. He's nobody. He's just a face. But here you had Hillary Clinton, who should know better. Here you had Hillary Clinton, who should know better, but because she's so deeply tied into the fanatics, like who? Jimmy Carter's mentality, Brzezinski. Brzezinski makes my flesh crawl. Brzezinski makes my flesh crawl with his vehemence, with his vehement hatred for Israel. Brzezinski looks like the type of man who thinks that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So therefore, because they hated Israel, the Islamists were his friends. It's the only thing I could figure out because he's not stupid. Senile, yes, maybe, close. And believe me, the Dura Mater doesn't fall far from the pan. But here, wait, there's more coming. I was the one who told you what was coming. And here comes Ron Paul, way back on 2/16/11. I know many of you love Ron Paul. Ron Paul is like Mr. Lunatic. The more Ron Paul is exposed for the lunacies that he has written and stated, the better it is for only one man, and that's Barack Hussein Obama. So here's the lunatic, Ron Paul, comparing Egyptian protesters to, of all people, of all groups, Tea Party members. Listen to this.
The Tea Party movement is pretty loose. There's no one Tea Party movement with one leader. Nobody controls the Tea Party people. They're restless. It's sort of like looking at those people who finally rebelled in Egypt.
You moron, you. You psycho. What kind of doctor was he? I mean, if he was a doctor, he'd be committed for practice malpractice, what he's doing with that mouth of his. I mean, Ron Paul is basically saying he's a doctor. What, every doctor's a genius? Our doctors, like every soldier's a hero. Every soldier with a uniform is a hero. Every doctor is a... Are you joking? I don't know where he got a degree from, what a medical school he must have gone to. My God, the man is astounding, and many of you love the guy. Why? All he has to do is say Federal Reserve evil, and right away you jump. Oh, yeah, Federal Reserve. I like what he has to say about Federal Reserve. Because the subtext is it's all the Jews doing it. That's what Ron Paul stands for. The anti-Semitic undertone of Ron Paul is all you like in reality. When you say Federal Reserve, you see a recruiting poster for Hitler when you say Federal Reserve. Many of you have been suckered in by that. Wall Street equals a Jewish banker in your mind, another verbal caricature. So that's what you're reacting to, but you don't even know it. Don't assume that you're doing the right thing by reacting to it in the wrong way. You know, you're just, again, being a tool. Let's take some callers on the Savage Nation. I can't agitate you to even listen, let alone call. There's a lot more going on in America other than my proof that the media is responsible for the demise of the society that we live in and possibly the world that we have all enjoyed for so long. First caller up today is out of New York City on WOR. BJ, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
You called the Arab Spring the rise of an arc of evil, and you were correct. You are a defender of freedom. You're able to do so, Mr. Savage, because you are a student of revolution, and you know how revolutions operate. They are made very popular. They are promulgated with very pretty people, and mm-hmm. once they get your attention, the real leaders of the revolution appear.
Yes. In other words, once the pretty boys with the tight jeans were swept aside, behind them were the Islamists. And the U.S. media was going along with it every step of the way. Oh, although the Muslim Brotherhood is now coming up, they're not who they once were. They're giving out clothing and toys to the children. Did you remember that phase when the U.S. media was glowing about the Muslim Brotherhood?
Yes. They all threw in with this. They all wanted to. They couldn't get rid of Mubarak fast enough. And once I saw the Christians getting killed with the tanks, that was proof enough for me.
BJ, who was the first to expose the plight of the Coptic Christians in the American media? Michael Savage. I even had Coptic Christians on the show. Do you know that their churches are being burned, that they're being driven out into exile from that country because of the failed policies of Obama and Hillary Clinton? Do you know that?
We don't hear about it, of course. We won't hear about it from the mainstream media, and the reason we won't hear about it is because it's not politique to go against the popular revolution.
Well, let's go to the United States of America. We have the equivalent of the Islamists in this country, and they are the occupiers. Make no mistake about it, these are dangerous criminals who have crippled aspects of the American economy on purpose, and our incompetent, corrupt intelligence apparatus and our police apparatus has done nothing. Let me give you an example. In California, Occupy Oakland blocked the Port of Oakland from loading and unloading trucks, meaning they blocked ship traffic and truck traffic. As far as I am concerned, that was a federal offense. The Department of Homeland Security should have cracked down on them. The FBI should have stopped them. But they did nothing. Why? Why does the Department of Homeland Security, which has trillions of dollars at their disposal, not arrest these people who are interfering with interstate and intrastate commerce? Can you explain that to me?
My reaction to that was allowed to go on in New York for 3 months. And what happened was that the liberal politicians were trying to co-opt a lot of the energy from it. But they saw that most of this crazy movement was made up of inmates that had taken over the asylum. So once they saw that going on, they distanced themselves from that.
Well, your mayor, perhaps one of the most incompetent in New York's history, let this go on for months. The New Yorkers were screaming to get the vermin out of the Zucchini Park. They made a mess. They left a mess behind them. But let's go from New York. I'm talking Oakland, California. These radicals stopped the trucks from loading and unloading ships. They interfered with interstate commerce, international commerce. Why was the U.S. government sitting on the sidelines not arresting them? Can you explain that to me? Why did Chaz Napolitano permit this to go on? Why in the world do the American people not say a word about this?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a great question.
Now, so you have to ask yourself, is Janet Napolitano complicit?
This revolution is a direct repudiation of al-Qaeda, who believe that the only way you bring about change is through.
In the history of the Republican Party, none other than the stumbling shoe salesman, not Tom McCann, but John McCain, again back in February of 2011, another idiot who was glorifying the arrival on the scene of the Islamists in Egypt. Another one who knows nothing. You know, I don't understand how this country can go on day to day when you consider the corruption and the stupidity. I wonder who's in charge of things. Now, I've showed you in the tapes I've played an idiot in the media, Anderson Cooper, glorifying the revolution in Egypt, talking about freedom. Then I played for you the moron Ron Paul equating Egyptian protesters to the Tea Party members. Then I played our Secretary of State, again glorifying the revolution in Egypt. Now I'm playing John McCain, another moron who didn't know what was going on. And I wake up this morning and I read that the Salafists who have risen to power in Egypt, what is a Salafist? It's an extremist sect of Islam. They want to put an end to the idolatry represented by the Egyptian pyramids in their own country. What does that mean? It means the destruction along the lines that were conducted by the Afghan Taliban who blew up the Banyan Buddhas. Blew up the Banyan Buddhas. Remember what the peaceful religion of Islam did to their co-religionists, the Buddhists in Afghanistan when they took power? They blew up the Buddhas. Well, these fanatics now want to conceal the pyramids. Conceal the pyramids. They want to do away with this, quote, rotten culture of Egypt. They are also performing sexual destruction of women, young girls, mainly Christians who will not convert to Islam, mutilating them. The Egyptian Christians are fleeing Egypt in droves. In fact, at sometime in January, I'm going to tell you more about it, because I'm going to make a major donation to a Coptic church somewhere in America. I'm going to try and sponsor Coptic Christian families. And I ask all of you to be a righteous American and save the Christians from the Islamists who have been ushered into power by Jimmy Carter, Zbigniew New Brzezinski, Barack Hussein Obama, Hillary Clinton, and the other left-wingers who called it an Arab Spring. If you only knew what was going on, I think your heart would break. Many of you know what went on during World War II, and people fled Nazi Germany. They were taken in across the landscape of the West. Many Jews, many others who were fleeing Hitler, found refuge in the United States of America. Why the Jewish community does not create a special fund for the Christians is something that I will continuously goad the Jewish community to do. I know they like to talk about righteous Gentiles in World War II, but that was 70 years ago. Well, we need now are righteous Jews to save the Christians, since the government won't do it. New York, Walter, welcome to the Savage Nation.
You know, Michael, whatever government emerges in the Middle East, you know what? It's going to be a government of their choosing and not some CIA propped up things, not some...
Walter, wait a minute. Excuse me. You don't know what you're talking about. You're telling me that you're supporting an Islamist revolution in Egypt where they're killing Christians? That's something for you to be happy about?
It's Michael, that's their decision. It's not our decision.
So another way, let me ask you something, Walter. Are you a Christian? What is your religion?
Messy. And guess what? This one is...
Wait, Walter, stop. What is your religion? I'd like to know more about you.
A lot of people are going to...
Walter, shut up. What's your religion, I asked you?
Say what?
What is your religion, Walter?
I'm a Christian, but I used...
All right, Walter, stop for a minute. This is not your ex-wife who threw you out. This is Michael Savage. I have a national radio show. We're trying to make sense out of a very serious issue. Let me explain something to you. During World War II, the Germans elected Adolf Hitler, who then went about slaughtering millions of people. Should we have done nothing about that?
No, Michael, but guess what?
What do you mean, no, Michael, but guess what? So in other words, had the U.S. not gotten involved and let the Nazis kill millions more, not only Jews and Christians who opposed them, but anybody who opposed the maniac called Hitler, what would have happened was Hitler would have won and taken over the world and killed every opponent. Don't you understand the Islamists are exactly the same as Hitler?
Don't you understand, Michael, that it's got to be the people of the Middle East that take care of it?
Again, you're giving me the double talk. People of the Middle East as though they're sacred and sane. Were the Nazis sacred and sane? Were the German people sacred and sane for electing Hitler?
Yeah, they were insane for electing Hitler.
Oh, so you are a Nazi. That's what I was trying to get at underneath the cuticle of your veneer.
Guess what, Michael? My
under the cuticle of your veneer, I wanted to know who you were. So you're a Nazi.
And then he ended up in a little place up in France called Normandy.
I don't know what you just said. What did you just say? Try to be a little more succinct or I'm going to hang up on you. You got another 10 seconds to make a rational point. What are you saying?
What am I saying? It's up to the people of the Middle East to decide their own future. We should not...
Again, moron, idiot, moron, idiot, moron, idiot, listen to me. You're telling me what we have no right to intervene and save Christians in Egypt?
Democracy. That's what we should do.
Hey, moron, Walter Moron. Walter, are you a Ron Paul voter?
Trying to get these
Walter, stop it, Walter. Okay, goodbye. I've given you your chance. I know that they gave you a few too many quarters in that role today. They gave you a few too many quarters in the role in the treatment facility. But that's your problem, not mine. I mean, I can't just let them go on and on. I mean, how many minutes do you get for a quarter in an asylum today? How many minutes you get per quarter? I know you go to a traffic meter. I never saw anything like it. I parked at a traffic meter in San Francisco. I never saw anything like it. All the change in my pocket was about 10 minutes. I kept digging in quarters, dimes, nickels. It was 9.5 minutes. You talk about criminals. I never saw anything like it. You could see it through a parking meter. New York Tom, welcome from WOR. Let's try for a little more rationality here.
You know, I want to just thank you very much, Dr. Savage. I've been listening to you for years. I listen to you in the kitchen when I'm doing dishes with my family. And I have four small kids. Every so often I have to turn you off for obvious reasons. But my children are listening to you right now. You are the only person that speaks about this subject. And I want to thank you very much from the bottom of my mind.
All right, let me ask you, are you a Coptic Christian yourself?
I'm actually a Ukrainian Catholic.
But you understand what I'm saying, that unless a just nation intervenes and prevents the wholesale slaughter or ethnic cleansing that is going on in Egypt today, then we are no longer a viable nation. We have no right to be called a civilized society.
You're absolutely right. And you want to know something? It really is the dictates of this government that we have that is responsible for what's going on. And yet,
100% right. Barack Hussein Obama ushered in the Arab Spring, which I said was the Arab winter, and that's why the Christians are dying. And he's getting away with virtual ethnic cleansing.
And it's happening through the entire area. That entire area.
That's right. The entire Arab Crescent is undergoing ethnic cleansing. Because of the do-gooders, we could even say that they did it because they're naive and they're simply do-gooders. But we know the popular phrase, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And so let's just give them the credit that they meant well. They wanted the evil Mubarak to be overthrown so that the flower of Arab Spring could be witnessed by the world. I was the one who saw that it would not be the flower of the Arab Spring, but the darkness of the Arab winter. And the people who are suffering the most are the Christians right now in Egypt. They are being ethnically cleansed in Egypt.
Friends that are Coptic Christians.
Tom, let me go to another point. We all know about the horrendous slaughter in Africa, perhaps 10 years ago, between the Hutus and the Tutsis. Remember? The rivers of blood when they were hacking off limbs and killing each other with machetes. Killing each other. Again, civilized nations did almost nothing. Instead, you have the Hollywood idiots doing movies about it 10 years later, about the horrors of the slaughter in Uganda and the Hutus and the Tutsis, and all acting like they would have done something, they should have done something, and the evil Republican government did nothing. Well, here now you have a Democrat government in America doing absolutely nothing. Why are they doing nothing? Tell me why. 1-800-449-8255. Or in Nigeria, Muslims blew up a church over the Christmas holiday, over the weekend, killing Christians, blew up a church, and the degenerate perverts in the UN said nothing. The child molesters in Brussels were busy downloading child porn or making it. They said nothing about it. I have a lot of contempt for the degenerate leadership of this world. I have contempt. It makes me tell you a simple storyline. The storyline was Serbs, Nazis, Muslims, victims. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Does being over 40 make you feel like half the man you used to be? Do you feel tired, out of shape? Is your romantic life suffering? It's not your fault. You may have reduced testosterone. But now, for the first time ever, you can boost testosterone levels safely and naturally to feel more like you did 20 years ago. Introducing Ageless Male, a breakthrough supplement clinically proven to increase testosterone levels by 61% and within a healthy, normal range. Today, you can try it risk-free. So if you'd like to experience what healthy testosterone levels can feel like, more energy, better mood and focus, and more romance when you want it, you really need to give Ageless Male a try. Supplies for this risk-free offer are limited, so don't wait. Just call 1-800-646-7358. 1-800-646-7358. 1-800-646-7358.
Call Michael now at 1-800-449-8255.
Savage.
A freelance TV producer discovers the cover-up of a failed radical Muslim terrorist attack. The FBI tells him to stay off the case, but they don't know Jack Hatfield. From nationally syndicated radio talk show host Michael Savage, the new thriller, Abuse of Power. Working with a veteran Green Beret and a seductive Yemeni agent, Jack Hatfield exposes a terrorist group known as the Hand of Allah. They uncover a plot within the highest corridors of power that could dwarf 9/11. Abuse of Power, a lightning-paced thriller that spans the globe from Europe and Israel to the back alleys of San Francisco's Chinatown. Based on a true story of a journalist smeared by a liberal media attack group. Abuse of Power, the new thriller from New York Times best-selling author Michael Savage. Available now at Amazon.com or at a bookstore near you. Abuse of Power. Get it while you still can.
This is an important health news alert.
It's well known that smoking is one of the most unhealthy habits you can have. It increases the risk for heart disease, not to mention lung cancer. Now, a study from Sweden finds that obesity may be just as bad. Researchers say obese teens have the same risk of premature death in adulthood as people who smoke more than 10 cigarettes a day. Researchers came to this conclusion after analyzing the cause of death of more than 45,000 Swedish men.
If you are struggling with control, substance abuse, anger, or negative emotions, fear, anxiety, or depression, no matter what difficulty you have, let the 3-Minute Solution explain how to become free from struggling with all your problems. After you have enjoyed the 3-Minute Solution, then click the Listen Free button and watch the struggling along with all your problems fade away. Call 855-FIX-ANXIETY. That's 855-FIX-ANXIETY. Or go to fixanxiety.org. fixanxiety.org.
This is Michael Savage. I want you to know that freedom of speech is not free. Believe me, courageous radio stations like this one want your advertising dollars to pay their bills and be able to bring you my show and all the others you've come to depend on for the real truth. Talk radio in many ways is America's immune system, but it needs your booster shot. If you're a business, you need to put your money where your heart is. Advertise on this station. And here's the good news. According to Talkers Magazine, ads airing on talk stations like this one generate 2 to 3 times the response from customers than other radio formats would generate. Why? Because talk radio listeners support with their dollars the advertisers that support the radio shows that they love. If you're a business, any kind of business, I don't care if you're a roofer, a plumber, advertise on this station. If you're a listener, do business with the businesses that advertise on my show and others on this station. For more information on how you can buy ads on this station or my show, call 877-474-6605. Write it down, 877-474-6605, to protect freedom of speech. God bless America.
Savage.
You are the kind of people who are lying to yourself if you're saying that I would defend to the death your right to disagree. You're a bunch of phonies. You would defend nothing to the death. You'd run and hide if they came to cut your daughter's throat in front of your eyes, most of you liberals. I met you all my life. You're full of crap, most of you. And I heard you say the same thing 30 years ago in the streets of New York when you said to me, I'd rather 99 guilty go free than one innocent man be locked up.
Michael Savage, now more than ever.
The doctors who perform these sex change operations are mutilators. They're not doctors. Don't tell me that they took the Hippocratic Oath in order to cut off a man's schmeckle and to turn him into a woman. Don't tell me that's legitimate surgery. Because in my world, the way I see things, those doctors are crazier than the guys having their schmeckle cut off. I know you agree with me. Unless you yourself have had your schmeckle cut off, in which case I don't want to hear from you. Back to the Savage Nation. We've been talking about the killings of Christians across the Arab Crescent. Now that the Arab winter is showing its ugly head, this did not happen by accident. This was carefully planned with Soros-related money and think tanks, according to our research. Correct us if we're wrong. With the architect being perhaps Obama, perhaps Brzezinski, perhaps the others on that far left of the quotient of the Democrat machine, either they didn't know what was coming or they did know what was coming. In either case, it's a human disaster what's going on in the Arab Crescent right now. The big losers are Christians. The big winners are the throwbacks who would like to drag the already backwards Middle East backwards another 1,000 years. That's the real point. Now, here in America, we have the green machine, which is the most corrupt machine in the history of America, the fraudulent green machine, a case in point, Solyndra. You've heard Solyndra, many of you know what that was, a fake energy company, according to what I can tell, set up strictly to steal the money of the taxpayers under the guise of creating something clean and green. Well, $500 and some odd million went missing. The FBI seized the records, and so far we've heard nothing. No one has been arrested. So you ask yourself, why did the FBI seize the records? Why? Well, we all heard political influence was involved. It was tied into Obama and the corrupt Obama machine, right? Why have you heard nothing since? I don't know. I'll ask you why you've heard nothing since. In San Francisco, where I live part-time, there was once a decent newspaper, never an A, maybe a C, a C+, called The Chronicle, which fell into the toilet under Phil Bronstein. Under Phil Bronstein, it became an absolute disgrace, a laughing stock, and was losing $1 million a week, according to what I read. Well, since Phil Bronstein was thrown out, it's gotten even worse. Now it's less than nothing, less than zero, and today they hit a new bottom. Here's a headline, Solyndra examining the allegations. While accusations of political influence began as soon as the Fremont Solar firm closed, the facts about its government loan are not so straightforward. So now this propagandist for the corrupt machine in the Bay Area that received that money is now writing an article. I never heard of him. David Baker, Chronicle staff writer. Business report. The accusations, blah, blah, blah. But then they say there's really no proof that Solyndra won the loan because of political ties to Obama. There was really no proof that Solyndra received preferential treatment after the initial loan guarantee. Now, what came to my mind when I was reading this morning was a scene in The Godfather after Michael Corleone shoots a detective and he's in hiding. And then the gang says, wait a minute, we got people in the newspaper business. What if we ran a story about a corrupt cop, a corrupt police captain? They started to change the news little by little to get people to think it was something other than what it was, which was a hit. Here you got the same thing going on right in San Francisco, in my humble opinion.
Savage. For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Taking this very personal. Tom, this is business, and this man is taking it very, very personal.
Where does it say that you can't kill a cop?
Come on, Mikey.
Tom, wait a minute. I'm talking about a cop that's mixed up in drugs. I'm talking about a dishonest cop, a crooked cop who got mixed up in the rackets and got what was coming to him. That's a terrific story. And we have newspaper people on the payroll, don't we, Tom? They might like a story like that.
They might. They just might.
It's not personal, Sonny. It's strictly business.
We have newspaper people on our payroll, don't we, Tom? Have things really changed since Mario Puzo wrote The Godfather? We have newspaper people on our payroll, don't we, Tom? So today, in the most corrupt city in America, San Francisco, the once decent newspaper, The Chronicle, runs a story that may as well have come out of The Godfather, trying to show you that the Solyndra case was really not what you think it is. $500 million of federal money disappeared, but it was not really done out of anything. But, well, they tried hard, but the evil Chinese made solar panels that were cheaper, and while begosh, they did the best they could to try and make this world a greener place. And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. Christians are being ethnically cleansed across the Arab Crescent, and our government pretends that they had nothing to do with the emergence of the Salafists, the Muslim Brotherhood, and the other fanatics who would like to drag Egypt back another 500 years. Egypt was already a backwards third world country. When the Salafists get through with them, they'll be less than a backwards third world country. The Jews will be gone. The Christians will be gone. There will have been ethnic cleansing, and you'll be asking yourself about Santa Claus, because that's all that the press seems to talk about. At the same time this is going on, the Lilliputians called Republicans continue to hammer each other in a way I could never believe would be possible for intelligent men to do. We know what we'd expect it from a pig like Newt Gingrich. A pig like Newt Gingrich, you'd expect to continue to self-aggrandize, knowing that he can't win, but not being able to leave the spotlight, not be able to stop either, stop attacking the one man who could possibly defeat the Democrat machine, Romney. Again, I have to keep giving you the caveat. He's about 50 points on what I would like out of 100. But that's better than less than zero, which is what I think we have right now in the White House. And so I rest my case. We have a divisive primary that is only serving to advance the interests of worldwide socialism. You have Gingrich attacking Romney, sending presidents' ratings soaring. You have Ron Paul's lunacy sending Obama to the stratosphere, and so forth and so on. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Let's take some calls from the listeners to the Savage Nation. West Virginia, Mark, welcome to the program. Thanks for listening on this dead day.
Dr. Savage, I would like you, with your powerful influence, to inform the American public that this wingnut Ron Paul is so dangerous. A, he is against the State of Israel. He would like to see nothing but Israel to disappear. He is a very dangerous individual. He's against the Civil Rights Act of 64 and 65, and plus he's an isolationist, which winds into exactly what your topic is about, the Coptic Christians, and this country will never save people in the capacity that they have the capability to
Well,
do.
That's right. The government should have intervened, but they won't. However, this government did intervene, I should say the federal government under Bill Clinton intervened, in a false case of salvation. That was in Kosovo when they stole it from the Serbs and gave it to the Albanians. I mean, that's a story from 1999. Again, I was the only one in the media who saw it for what it was. And I wrote an article back in 1999. I was writing with Newsmax at the time, The Oily Tracks Running Through Kosovo. It's a fabulous article. It was 99, 09, 20, 11 years ahead of its time, 11 and 12 years ahead of his time, Michael Savage saw what was going on. I wrote Kosovo was about oil and nothing but oil. with maybe some uranium thrown in and a dash of Wag the Dog. And you thought it was to save the poor Kosovar Albanians. And I wrote a long article about it. I wrote that the Kosovo action by Bill Clinton was about oil, really about establishing a safe haven for an oil pipeline. Because at the time, Bill Clinton signed an historic agreement with Azerbaijan on this very matter. You don't want to know much about this, but the fact is that I wrote about it because I saw what was going on then. And I saw that they ethnically cleansed the province of Kosovo of the helpless Kosovar Serbs, the Gypsies, and the Jews, in order to permit the ethnic Albanians make the world safe for Big Oil's Trans-Kosovo pipeline. The last I checked, they're about to build a pipeline. They just got the approval from all of the governments to build this pipeline that I told you about way back in 1999. Now, let me go to a diversion for a moment. This show is the second most important show in internet radio. What does that mean? Why do so many people listen to my show? Well, first on the radio, it's number three. Let's start with the facts. On terrestrial radio, meaning towers, meaning radio sets, meaning people tuning in, the show is already number three, and it's been there for a very long time. That's a wonderful thing, and I need every one of my terrestrial stations. But I tell you that the show has soared to number two on the internet, where young people listen an awful lot. They seem to bypass stations, unfortunately. They hit a search engine which says, find Michael Savage radio show, and they're connected up to some radio station in the country that's webcasting it. Sometimes it's in Missouri, sometimes California. I don't know where they get it from. Now, I don't want
to... Selling author Michael Savage, available now at Amazon.com or at a bookstore near you. Abuse of power. Get it while you still can.
This is an important health news alert.
It's well known that smoking is one of the most unhealthy habits you can have. It increases the risk for heart disease, not to mention lung cancer. Now, a study from Sweden finds that obesity may be just as bad. Researchers say obese teens have the same risk of premature death in adulthood as people who smoke more than 10 cigarettes a day. Researchers came to this conclusion after analyzing the cause of death of more than 45,000 Swedish men.
If you are struggling with control, substance abuse, anger, or negative emotions, fear, anxiety, or depression, no matter what difficulty you have, let the 3-Minute Solution explain how to become free from struggling with all your problems. After you have enjoyed the 3-Minute Solution, then click the Listen Free button and watch the struggling along with all your problems fade away. Call 855-FIX-ANXIETY. That's 855-FIX-ANXIETY. Or go to fixanxiety.org. fixanxiety.org.
This is Michael Savage. I want you to know that freedom of speech is not free. Believe me, courageous radio stations like this one want your advertising dollars to pay their bills and be able to bring you my show and all the others you've come to depend on for the real truth. Talk radio in many ways is America's immune system, but it needs your booster shot. If you're a business, you need to put your money where your heart is. Advertise on this station. And here's the good news. According to Talkers Magazine, ads airing on talk stations like this one generate 2 to 3 times the response from customers than other radio formats would generate. Why? Because talk radio listeners support with their dollars the advertisers that support the radio shows that they love. If you're a business, any kind of business, I don't care if you're a roofer, a plumber, advertise on this station. If you're a listener, do business with the businesses that advertise on my show and others on this station. For more information on how you can buy ads on this station or my show, call 877-474-6605. Write it down, 877-474-6605, to protect freedom of speech. God bless America. I think this country has too many holidays for the children. They have this extended winter haven holiday so they can smoke more dope and do nothing with themselves. Then they're here a week, 4 days, they're back to school already, they're off today for another holiday. And what are they actually teaching them in school? The kids come out of college, they can't even add without a computer. They come out of college, they can't compose a sentence that is grammatically correct. I mean like he said, like I mean she said.
Michael Savage, now more than ever.
The jerks at ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and the other places. And I will tell you that that's why I'm the outsider, which is very interesting. It's not so much what I say or how I say it. It's that I say it at all. They don't even understand that they should get mad at Osama bin Laden. They don't even understand when I call the president of Iran the Hitler of our time, I'm 100% right.
Oh, the way. outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping.
Hey, welcome back to the Savage Nation. I know that many of you don't like such rigidity in a talk show host or anger or, well, such intensity. Intensity frightens the American people. Now, of course, pseudo-intensity of the type you see in the movies, why, that's okay. But intensity in an actual man is something to be avoided at all costs in our ersatz society where everything is manufactured by the degenerates of Hollywood. Nevertheless, I feel obligated to use the gift that I have of the microphone and this large audience to tell you that there is ethnic cleansing going on in Egypt, all a result of the failed policies of Barack Hussein Obama, Hillary Clinton, Zbigniew Brzezinski, and Jimmy Carter, so far as I can tell, as funded by George Soros. So what is my evidence? Well, the evidence is clear because you have Coptic Christians fleeing Egypt as the Islamists continue to kill them and burn their churches. I'll read you a story from the weekend edition of the Wall Street Journal, December 24th, 25th, 2011. Egypt's embattled Christians seek room in America. And it shows people in Brooklyn, New York, talking to Egyptians coming in, new Christians from Egypt. And they're talking about what happened to some of them over there in the land of the new Islamists in Egypt. It says, Kyrolos Andwas had every reason to be excited about the January uprising in his native Egypt, figuring democracy would bring hope for young people like him. So even he was duped like Anderson Cooper, but not old Mike Savage. In other words, I even saw it when Egyptians didn't see it. How come I saw it? An Egyptian on the ground had been there 1,000 years. His family didn't see what I saw? Well, how's that possible? What, am I a prophet? How could I see what he didn't see? Well, let me read you the rest of the story. You decide. Then one day in February, says Mr. Andros, a gang of thugs beat him and told him, you deserve to die. His offense, he says, refusing to convert to the religion of peace, Islam. In late March, Mr. Andros, a 23-year-old engineer, used a tourist visa to board an Egypt Air flight for New York City. He took a room in a friend's apartment, hired an immigration lawyer, and applied for asylum. He has survived mainly on wages and tips from jobs as a cook, cashier, and delivery man. I have no other option, says Mr. Andros, who found refuge at a Queens church that's become a way station for Copts arriving in New York. Mr. Andros is one of thousands of Coptic Christians, followers of an ancient form of Christianity with its own language and rituals, who have come to the U.S. to escape rising persecution in Egypt. For decades, Copts have suffered attacks by Islamists who view them as kafir, Arabic for non-believers. But there's now a sense among Middle East experts that they have become more vulnerable since the revolution. This year, mobs of Arabs have looted and attacked Coptic churches, homes, and shops throughout Egypt. Churches have been burned down, and one Copt had his ear cut off by a Muslim cleric invoking Islamic law. When are you going to learn, you morons, you? Islamic law. Strong gains by Islamist parties in the recent elections have further raised fears among the Christian minority that they won't have a place in the new Egypt. The plight of the nation's roughly 8 million Copts poses a quandary for the U.S. The pivotal Middle East ally receives $1.3 billion annually in military aid, and the administration has riled some critics who say it has failed to strongly rebuke the transitional rulers amid recent violence against women, Copts, and other minorities. I can go on. And I will a little later. But you get the broad strokes, don't you? That the Obama administration is sending $1.3 billion to a growing Islamic cancer in Egypt after overthrowing Hosni Mubarak. We were told he was the worst man on earth since Adolf Hitler. And yet look what's followed, the overthrow of Hosni Mubarak. We go back in time to the useful idiots, like Anderson Cooper, perhaps the stupidest man in the history of the American media, who was glorifying and glowing. Listen to clip two of what went on.
Listen. Tired of the indignities they had suffered at the hands of Mubarak for some 30 years, at the hands of his police and his thugs, they had defeated fear. They had defeated fear.
Shut up, you know-nothing, pretty boy, you. You idiot, you. You're nothing but a pair of stuffed jeans from West Hollywood. And you owe the American people and the Christian community an apology, you loser. How come I, Michael Savage, who has a face for radio, not for television, how come I saw what was going on, but you, you idiot, on CNN didn't see it? Egypt's Christians look to U.S. for help. And so that's a big story. It's a very big story of what they're doing to daughters. Would you like to hear what they're doing to little girls in Egypt? Or is it a little too dangerous for you to listen to the truth during the holidays? I realize the president's on a $4 million vacation, and Nancy Pelosi's in a $10,000 a night suite in Hawaii, and I know most of America's enjoying a yawn, a long yawn. Would you like to hear a little bit more of why they're fleeing? The family's regular house of worship in Egypt felt no longer safe. Her daughters were frightened when the church appeared on an online list of bombing targets by Muslims. The final blow came last summer, soon after a doctor examining her 12-year-old daughter for a fever, asked her if she had been chitan, the Arabic term for removal of the clitoris and other female sexual organs. The doctor said, "I can do it for them now. It is very easy and it is free." I said, "No, no, no, no." Then she ran out of the hospital. Female genital mutilation was banned under the Mubarak regime and declared illegal. But thanks to the Obama administration, Islamists have now introduced female genital mutilation. Seven. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Michael Savage in person, live, not on vacation. I know many of the listeners want to hear some jokes instead. I know most of you don't know the difference, no, could care less about the difference between Salafists and Salami. And I get it. I understand that. I mean, how much can you worry about? You got your own problems. I think I made my point. The U.S. should welcome as many Coptic Christians as need be to save them before they're all wiped off the planet. After all, they've been there for a very long time. I think I believe the religion is over 2,000 years old. I could be mistaken. And if any people deserve sanctuary, it's them. I'm not saying we should take in 8 million, don't get me wrong. But that's a topic for another time. I'll do what I have to do to help maybe even one family. He who saves a single person, it's as though he saved the entire world. And I'll have to figure out a way to get a central box or something for you to make donations, and I'll forward it all to the right organization once I get this figured out in January. I don't have the capacity to do it right now. I haven't figured it out yet because I'm just getting started on this one. I'm making a commitment for 2012, and I hope I didn't bore you with it. But I feel that we have to make a difference while we're alive. And if I'm in the media and I have this microphone and I have an opportunity to spread the word about people in trouble and help real victims as opposed to fake victims here in America, every day another fake victim glorified by the media. Every day. Oh, she lost her Medicaid. Oh, the crack addict with six children can't get any more welfare. And oh, the poor medical marijuana addict can't get his medical marijuana because the evil feds are saying, yeah, right, okay, sure. Tell your story walking. I myself have taken up watercolors. I tried it 20 years ago. I always wanted to paint. It's a funny thing, but I've never been good at it. And I sat here and I sat here and I sat here. And finally, after looking at the turquoise water a long enough time, and I had bought, by the way, 2 years ago, I had bought the big pad, then I bought pencils, you know, drawing pencils, and I bought watercolors. I tried it. I was awful at it. It looks like the drawings of a three-year-old. Or let's say if someone were in a nut house and they gave them art therapy, that's about what the quality of art I can do. I even joke with my family. I said, here's another nut house drawing. But what happened was is that I wasn't ashamed to produce a nut house drawing because it was actually fun to move the watercolors around on the paper. It was art therapy. I got to tell you, it was very interesting. I was about to snap. I felt it building up in me like another. I don't have epilepsy, but I can get very tense. Then I have some outlets are good and some outlets are bad. I bicycle. I do this. I do that. I just didn't want to do any of it. I didn't want another outlet. I wanted to create something. So I'm going to tell you a funny story. So I'm sitting in a room, and it has two windows looking out onto an ocean. And I said, I can't do this in a realist sense. I can't do realism because you really have to be skilled to do realism. So then I thought, do it any way you can, like a voice in my head. Yeah, I'm not psychotic now. So I said, just do whatever. Try the best you can. So I did the window frames. Then I painted in a palm tree. Then I did the side. It actually was interesting. It wasn't bad. I mean, I'm not going to sell it to you. I'm not offering. Then the next one I did was a portrait of my son. It was so bad. It was so bad. If you have a three-year-old and you gave him watercolors, it would be on that level. But it's very interesting. You can see. I did another one of a sofa, and I called it Floating Sofa. floating sofa. It's a aquamarine sofa with a painting above it. And I did the frame of the painting, and I had a picture inside the frame coming out of the frame onto the wall, like it was a man on a blue horse. And it was the blue horse and the man outside, in the frame and out of the frame, almost spilling over onto the sofa. And I called it Floating Sofa. So here's my goal. I'm going to do 100 watercolors, if I can, not while I'm here. I'm going to do them, because everywhere I turn now, I see a picture. Everywhere I turn, I see something that I want to take a picture of. And then I thought, well, that's what the camera was invented for. We all see this beauty all around us, and we take click, 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 right? Click, 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 and we take the picture, and that's it. That's what most of us do. But then if you can take one of those scenes and start to just render it in some way, I thought it might be a good outlet for me, you know? So I did a couple of them today, that's all. So I'm going to do 100. I'm going to do 100 watercolors, and then I'm going to learn how to do watercolors. After I do my first 100, I'm going to actually study how to paint watercolors from a couple of experts so I can really do something. Then I'm going to do a little bit of collage. Like, I wanted to put Teddy in the picture, floating sofa, because he was sitting next to the couch. Impossible to do a dog if you're an amateur who doesn't know what you're doing. So I said, well, why don't I just take a picture of Teddy and paste it in? I see a lot of this crap art out there that they're doing today, passing it off as art. But since I have an audience of millions of people, why don't I just do art now? And then I could, you know, offer it on eBay or auction it off and put it into my legal fund and pay for my legal bills. Who knows? You know what I mean? And if there's any money left over, as I've told you before, the Savage Legal Fund, I intend to use any money I'm not using for legal fights on a conservative scholarship fund. But I've been sidetracked for 3 years now. Can only do so much, you know. Anyway, just sharing with you. What did we have in the soundbite? Whose sound do we have, Beowulf? Brzezinski is sound. I can't even play him. I didn't like him when he worked for Carter. I don't like him since. I don't like his daughter. I don't like the network that she's on. I don't like the fact that they're nothing but mouthpieces for Jeffrey Immelt of GE, who pays no taxes on their income. I don't like any of it. I don't like any of it, so I'm not going to play him. I'm not going to play him. If you'd like to comment on any of the things I've said, give me a call at 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I'm sure that there are artists listening who are going to call and tell me, keep painting. And you'll get there, Mike. And I will. I know that. Actually, I probably will get there because I'm a talented person in some areas. And like, I can't play an instrument. I have no talent whatsoever with instruments. I tried a few when I was young. Talentless. Impossible. Can't read music. Can't play music. So I would never try that. That's impossible. But painting today, anyone can paint because it's all so awful. I mean, after Rothko, anybody can be a painter. You know what I'm saying? No, I would say after de Kooning, anybody could declare themselves a painter. I would start with de Kooning. Rothko followed de Kooning, if I'm not mistaken. After that vomitatious art created by de Kooning, which is declared great genius, and I guess the people of Wall Street have traded in it, which were hundreds of millions of dollars, anybody can declare themselves an artist. If you have a big enough canvas and a bigger ego, you are therefore a great painter. Just smear Dreck on a piece of paper, and then I'll offer it to you on the website and give it away, whatever. I'll use it. Hey, I got an idea. Wait a minute, since I'm talking about it today. I'll do a bunch of these pictures, and then come January or February when I'm ready to have an opening, I'll have an opening on my website. That's what I'll do. I'm not going to go to a gallery. And I'll auction off the paintings, and I'll use it for a fund, maybe for a legal fund and Coptic Christians. What if we save a family that's over here? The guy was an engineer and he's, let's say, a janitor here. What if we can turn him back into an engineer? Wouldn't that be wonderful if we can do that? Then at least you know you did something for somebody on this earth. Something decent. It would be very nice. Anyway, I'm dragging. I could feel it. I was very excited for 90 minutes so far. I feel my energy's low. One family member already has a flu. Never gets sick. Flu job in the house. So I'm already, I got a contact flu. Just hearing about it near me, I'm going down with it. I'm avoiding it like there's somebody with the plague in the house. I'm a germaphobe. I mean, if I go to someone's house and I have a sneezer, I leave. One sneezer and I'm out. I was invited to a friend's house, never talked to me again. Invited me over for chicken, and then the children were sneezing and came home from school. I said, I'm leaving. What? We made you chicken. I said, thank you very much. Kentucky Fried isn't too far away. You know how notorious these nanoviruses are from school children. Ooh. God, little children today, they come home from school. They give you varieties no one ever heard of. Never seen under an electron microscope what they've mutated into. being in the radio business, I'm a broadcaster. My voice is my livelihood. I avoid anyone with germs. I'm a germaphobe. So I've been spritzing the Echinacea Golden Seal Propolis in my throat. Great stuff. For years, a spritz. Every hour, spritz, spritz, spritz. Vitamin C. But as soon as the show's over, I'll go to the next level of treatment, which will be a vodka about three fingers deep with a touch of orange juice and a little bit of Perrier on top of that and a lime. And then I'll have some bad Chinese food. And then I'll watch I watch a good TV down here. I got to tell you, I started in California. Kelsey Grammer in Boss, the best show ever made in television. I told you about it last time. Many of you don't get Stars. That's like a weird network that no one watches. Stars is like the Edsel of cable television, right? So not even in the big three. But anyway, they put together this. Kelsey Grammer is the greatest actor I've ever seen. He's the boss of Chicago. He plays it's like Mayor Daley, but you're not supposed to know it. A total tyrannical mayor who'll do anything, throw anybody under the bus to survive, including his own family members. It's amazing. And of course, the mayor's name is Mayor Kane, right from Citizen Kane, right from Orson Welles. And I know that Kelsey Grammer had to study Orson Welles to do this role because he's channeled his voice, his look, the whole thing. Looks like Bob Hope, by the way. Kelsey Grammer looks like Bob Hope, and that's what diminishes a little bit. When he channels Orson Welles, it's fantastic. And then occasionally the lantern jaw and the nose is like I'm looking at another character. It's Bob Hope. Then there's a couple of new women in the thing that are going to be big stars because they're so sexy. Old word. Then there's a couple other sub-characters who are going to have big careers because they're so charismatically good actors. So I think like a lot of stars have been born in this Stars show called Boss. I don't know if you can watch it, whatever. I'd recommend it. Because this show is about news, views, and reviews. 1-800-449-8255. Let's take a call from an artist in New York. Robert on line 3 from WOR. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mr. Savage. I'm a big fan of yours.
Thank you.
I was in advertising for many years. I'm a graduate of FIT in Manhattan.
Beautiful.
And I learned, I'm more of a graphic artist, but I dabbled in fine art. See, the mistake you're making, you're looking at the subject as the whole thing.
Right.
What you have to do is look at lines, the lines of a dog, the lines of a couch, the line.
No, I did. No, that's what I'm saying. I didn't get that across. That's what I did. I stopped trying to be figurative, and I did it. I didn't do it that way. I basically made it in an angled, different angles than reality, and then I painted over it. It was beautiful. It came out actually pretty nice. You know, Robert, what I'm going to do next week when I get back, I don't know how to do it. I got to get someone under the age of 75 to take a picture of it and put it on my website. No, that's what I decided. Don't be too worried about making it look real. That's what I said to myself. Just do floating window frames, which I did. You know what I'm saying, Robert?
Yes, I am.
So in other words, I did what you're saying I should do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're on the right track then.
Thank you very much. Yeah, no. Once I realized I can't do realism. Realism requires a real artist. I understand realism. I grew up in my father's antique store. I know what a real piece of art is, a real piece of sculpture. Impossible to do if you're an amateur. No, that's a whole different world. But in this day and age, everybody thinks they can do anything. Even I can think I can do watercolors. That's all. But I started with the humiliating statement that it looks like that of someone in a madhouse, what I painted. Or in a three-year-old if he came home and smeared a paint. That's a little better than that because you can see the face, you can see the frame. And the dog, I can't do it all. I couldn't do it at all, but I'm going to get a picture of him and paste it into the picture. I understand they're doing that now, like they're doing collage and painting and turning it into like, oh, that's $100,000. What is that? A direct, the guy painted like a three-year-old lunatic, and then he put a photograph of his mother-in-law on the top of it, and then a piece of his wife's bridal gown on the bottom, and he declared, floating bridal gown one. That'll be $110,000 plus tax. And someone bought it. I don't know. I'm not doing it for the money. I'm doing it for the pleasure of getting my mind off television and politics, to be frank with you. No, it's true. It's art therapy. You sit there and your mind is no longer that, monodimensional or worrying. And you're flowing. It's a flow. It's nice. It's good. It's like playing an instrument, I suppose, and really knowing how to do it. or it's like a chimpanzee banging on piano keys. Either way, it's fun. I'll be back.
Savage.
When in the world will Gingrich disappear and go away? When will he leave us alone? When will this fat slob, egomaniac, disappear and never be heard from again? This guy's baggage is so old it has no wheels on it, as I said to you 2 weeks ago. And all he is a spoiler, destroying any hope we have of getting rid of this regime. That's all he's doing. I never saw anything like this. All he is doing is attacking Romney for Obama. And I know in my heart, I can't prove it, that he's going to benefit financially for doing this, as he did with many other insider deals through his life, according to my estimation. When Romney will fight back will be the issue, because Romney can't win. Even if Romney prevails, I'm going to do politics for another minute or two, even if Romney should prevail the attacks by this swine, Gingrich, he won't win unless he comes out of the corner and starts to really flail and fight. Because right now he's standing there like a big putz. He's just standing there like an Ivy League schmendrick, who's too good to get down and dirty in a real political battle, and he can't win that way. Because if he can't fight against Gingrich, and if he can't fight against Obama, he really isn't fit to be president, to be frank with you. He isn't. He'll be stepped on. He'll be a doormat for the world all over again. So what's the point? And that's why Obama's going to win, in my estimation. That's the horrible truth. The fact of the matter is, I've told you this, I don't know whether it's a fix or it's just a situation that the Republicans continue to do this over and over again, or they just won't let anyone viable come up in the ranks because it's such an old boy network that there's no one in the bench or on the bench that they will ever let get near the throne. And consequently, it is what it is. They have had every ability to win. And I told you this is going on. The longer the stupid, every day I open it, I put the TV on, and there's another moron Republican sitting in there being beaten up by the likes of the vermin you've never seen. Wolf Blitzer? Perhaps, okay, I'm not going to say what I want to say. Wolf Blitzer? They go before that lowlife? They go before that lowlife, and they genuflect before him, and they let that rat set them up for a ripdown? They're not capable of running the world. If they submit themselves, and I submit to you that if the Republicans continue to submit themselves to liberal moderators and liberal networks over and over again, then they're not fit to run the world. I rest my case. They're not going to give you any of what you want. If they're so tied into the system and the man, that's the best they can figure out, that I have 50 different primary battles tearing each other's entrails out. And Obama soars. I told you that. Just soars with doing nothing. Then they're not fit to run the world. That's all. They should have cut this off. There he is again. I mean, this is the most corrupt administration in American history, isn't it? We all know this. The corrupt solo loans. The insults to the military. One after the other, what this man has done, Obama. And today he announces he needs another $1.2 trillion to the debt. Just print it. Expand the debt by $1.2 trillion. That alone should be enough to defeat him in 2012. But what are we reading? There he is, the insider. The insider. Mr. Pudgman. Newt Gingrich, Mr. Pudgman. Ripping apart Romney. And Romney stands there like Mr. Check Pants Republican. Came out of the country club, doesn't want to spill his Manhattan on his trousers. And he's too good for everybody. Doesn't want to fight with anybody. Oh, okay. That's my politics for the day. Now back to regular unprogramming on the Savage Nation. I really would rather talk about oil painting. It's not oil painting. I'm doing watercolors. Oil painting's another league. You know, Churchill was a fabulous artist. Don't ask your liberals to tell you that, but he was as good as some of the greats. Incidentally, in fact, some of the great painters of England at the time said that if he had reflected on being a painter as well as he did in politics, he could have been one of the great painters of all time. He was that good. He used a pseudonym, Churchill did, called Mr. Winter, when he offered his works to the Royal Academy, so his fame was not exploited, and he was adjudged to be a fabulous painter. His pictures, Churchill's, were so good that the title of honorary academician extraordinary was conferred upon him. Did you know that? The renowned British painter Sir Oswald Burley said if Churchill had given the time to art that he has given to politics, he would have been, by all odds, the world's greatest painter. And there are connoisseurs of Sir Winston's art, by the way. We just checked the auction records. One of them went for £1 million, what, last year? So in time, my paintings will go for $5. If I keep it up for another 10 years, I'm positive that my watercolors will bring at least $5 to $6 on the open market. All right, another big hour right here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. Wake up and fly right on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
There is a very explosive report on the Solyndra scandal. The Washington Post now finding evidence that the solar panel company slipped toward bankruptcy. Higher-ups in the Obama administration furiously exchanging emails about the president's political future and his appearances mostly missing from those memos. The more than 1,000 people who lost their jobs and the loss of hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars.
Most of the clean energy companies that the Obama administration picked had some connection directly or indirectly with Obama fundraisers. And the president really put a big bet on this. You'd be astonished to hear half of the president's visits to private businesses have been to clean energy companies. That's how much emphasis he's put in this sector. $90 billion of taxpayer money. Solyndra is just one example of a company that's gone sour. The first $75 million that's recovered from Solyndra isn't going to go to the taxpayers. It's going to go to Solyndra investors because they managed to get themselves put ahead of the taxpayers if the thing went wrong.
Here are some questions for the Savage Nation. Well, here's a silly one. What is your New Year's resolution for 2012? After all, the world's coming to an end. Not in December, according to the Mayans, but in November when Obama's reelected. Do you fear that radical Muslims will destroy the Egyptian pyramids as they're threatening? The Occupy protesters are threatening to shut down the port of Oakland again. Do you think that the Department of Homeland Security should be impeached for not protecting the port of Oakland and the streets of America from these communist radical bums who are disrupting the free flow of trade? The late great state of California has banned police from towing the cars of illegal aliens. You hear that? Do you think the cars of unlicensed illegal aliens should be towed and impounded? The corrupt, well, I can't say that. Senator Chuck Schumer of New York got his brother-in-law a federal judgeship in New Jersey. Was he a Schumer-in? Republicans are blaming Boehner for the payroll tax debacle. Who is most to blame? Do you think Boehner's time has come? Who would be a better leader of the Republicans than John Boehner? Who? Anybody? I think so. We have special sound for you today. Anderson Cooper going back to February 11th, 2011, glorifying the Arab Spring while I lambasted that moron, telling you that the Islamists would take over Egypt. How come Anderson Cooper has not been fired after apologizing to the world for being a useful moron? Answer, because he's a useful moron. But he wasn't alone. He wasn't alone. Many in the media gushed and gushed and gushed. What's on MichaelSavage.com today? Let's go there together. Top right. An Obama minion in the so-called Justice Department rewrote online gambling rules, announced it on Christmas Day so no one would notice. He's now legalizing online gambling. Islamic Party wants to get rid of idolatrous pyramids. Did you hear this? Your friends, Democracy, Arab Spring, the Islamists who are taking over Egypt want to destroy the pyramids. They say that they're idolatrous. While Obama arrives in Hawaii, Pelosi slips quietly into a $10,000 a night suite on the Big Island. It's nice to be queen. Sears to close up to 120 stores. Wow. GOP lawmakers question AARP's tax-free profits. Obamas celebrate Kwanzaa in the spirit of Umoja, whatever that means. I don't know what Umoja is. Al-Qaeda front group claims Iraq blasts. Egyptian court rules against virginity tests. Experts say fluorescent lamps could burn down your house. Now, they're going to phase out traditional bulbs and force you to buy fluorescent bulbs. They could explode and burn your house down, the fluorescents. Ah, Israel is finally waking up. They want Arabs to pay for the 1948 pogroms against Jews. Finally, they're going on the offense. Good for them. They woke up. The honest, trustworthy, above-board senator from New York, up Chuck Schumer, made his brother-in-law a federal judge in New Jersey. People in New Jersey had the Sopranos. Now they have Schumer's brother-in-law as a federal judge. Canada honor killing trial sparks debate. What's an honor killing, to those of you who are too stupid to know? A Muslim man is accused of murdering his wife and three daughters because they disrespected Islam.
I would put our legislative and foreign policy accomplishments in our first 2 years against any president, with the possible exceptions of Johnson, FDR, and Lincoln. But, just in terms of what we've gotten done in modern history.
Wow, you know how much that irritates me. Well, imagine how your throat will get this winter without Pine Brothers Softish Throat Drops. That's right. I'm talking about Pine Brothers Softish Throat Drops we all grew up with. They're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors. Pine Brothers has been a trusted brand since 1870. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothersyum.com. GOP congressman blames Boehner for payroll tax debacle. Good luck. Savage Nation, fastest growing talk show on the internet. Mum's the word on New York teacher pensions. First pictures of family gunned down on Christmas Day. Aziz Yazdanapata was dressed in a Santa suit. Horrible, just horrible, the murder. Look, for those of you who have nothing better to do, where is this, in Dallas? Oh, I don't even want to look at it. A murder, mayhem, it's really depressing. Anyway, on the bottom of michaelsavage.com, there's an interesting story. A hooded robber went into a convenience store and tried to hold it up, and an old cracker white man made believe he was giving the crook a punch. Made believe he was giving the crook the money, hit him with a left punch and knocked him out and broke his nose. Now, that's a case for Eric Holder. Because after all, the clerk was a white male, and the robber was, I think, of Arabic descent. If that's not an example of racism, I'd like to know what is. I mean, it's true that white men have a right to defend themselves, but not against illegal aliens from the Middle East. There's a special rule for them. It's on YouTube, from ABC News, rather, on michaelsavage.com. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I'm a little loopy today. I've been trying not to tell you the story, but, you know, since radio to me is a bit of a confessional and I swore to Mrs. Savage I wouldn't tell the story, I can't tell you why I'm a little loopy today. If she would call and say you can, I will do it. Well, wait a minute. Is there a way around this? I'll have to think about it. Oh, big deal. It's not that big a story. So I went aground in the mud. Dogs got scared as night descended upon the bay and we were stranded. Ah, what the heck? What the heck if the Coast Guard came and couldn't do anything for us because the mud was so deep and we were so far in it? I was not piloting, incidentally. You want to see how many metaphors I can tell you about going aground? And I mean hard aground. Hello, this is Michael Savage. I'm hard aground somewhere in the vicinity of the Richmond yacht harbor. You know what had happened just before that? And there's so many metaphors to this story. Well, first of all, there's good and bad in everything. I don't know if you know what going hard aground means. If you hit a reef, you usually go down because the reef cuts the bottom of your boat open and you sink. If you're not watching what you're doing, or you're not reading your charts right, or your depth finder is off, you might go up on mud. And if you do and you go in at a low tide, you're going to wait 6 hours for a high tide to float you off that mud, which I had to do. It could have been much worse. I could have gone hard aground at high tide, which means I would still be there because there's no way off at high tide. But you know something? I'm an impatient guy. And I've heard the phrase, God, it was as boring as watching paint dry. No, sir. I've got something better for you for a new metaphor, but it's not so generally known that people would get it. It's as boring as waiting for the tide to come in, because that's what we had to do. Went aground at 3 o'clock, called the Coast Guard. They came out. They couldn't get within 100 yards of us. All I said was drop your anchor, put on your life jackets, and have a nice day. They said to me, the next high tide is at midnight. You should be able to float off at 10 o'clock tonight. I said, yeah. So from 3 o'clock to 10, the dogs couldn't make, and that's the part that bothered me the worst. I mean, we had food and water. It wasn't life-threatening. But the fact is that the poor doggies got to me. Teddy was worried because he was up on the bow of the boat and looking, and he could smell the land. He could almost hear people. It wasn't that far away. And the poor boy, after 4 or 5 hours, he had to go. And I got to the point where my little finicky, everything has to be perfect boat, I said, Teddy, crap on the deck. Please, dump on the upholstery. Teddy, pee on the steering wheel. Whatever you got to do, I don't care, man. This is an emergency. Okay, let go of the anal retentive stuff, man. Do it. Dump on the sofa. He didn't do it, but the little one did. She listened. She overheard, and the teacup peed on the sofa, which I really don't care. But I got to tell you something. Any couple can go aground. It depends upon what the couple is made of as to whether how they get off that sandbar. And a lot happens in a few hours. And this is no heroic thing. I'm not putting the context of being adrift for 29 days in a lifeboat and killing a sea turtle and drinking each other's urine. You know, I'm not talking about that. In my little hothouse rose life, the life that I lead, the little constrained life that I lead, it was somewhat of a big deal to go aground because I'm a careful guy. I never make mistakes like this. My boat is my treasured possession. I'm also a very careful boater. But there's a little story coming. For about 1, 2, 5 minutes, I relaxed. I went below. I put on a pair of shorts. I don't wear shorts. I don't like shorts. I hadn't worn shorts since 1970, but it was a balmy day. I said, oh, look at this, Bermuda shorts. And I sat backwards up on the flybridge, and I lifted my legs up, and I wasn't even drinking. The next thing I know, nothing's happening. All right, these things happen. It was my mistake for not paying attention. Da, 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 da. I'm not blaming anybody, because ultimately it's my boat, and I'm the captain. So therefore, it's my responsibility. But the fact of the matter is, we had to sit for 6 hours. And, you know, we didn't even go aground at low tide. We went aground an hour before low tide, which means that we had to wait an hour and watch the mud come up even higher. And then I went down in the dinghy and went around the boat, and this thing looked like it was in dry dock, sitting in the mud. I got to tell you, as a guy who's finicky about the maintenance of his craft, it didn't feel very good. And that's what it was. So it got dark, and there was nothing to do. And I couldn't run the a generator because there was no water to cool it. So we had to sit in the dark and talk to the dogs. I couldn't sleep. I was agitated. And all I was doing was waiting for the water to come up. It's a very slow process. You can't rush God. God has his own little time frame. And as I've said to you many times, God sees the truth but waits. This had nothing to do with God. Or did it? Well, I think it did. It actually did. Because over the last few days, I turned my back on God over the last week. I had gotten cynical about God. I did. Now, normally I'm a God-fearing man. God is with me every second of the day, 24 hours a day. Doesn't mean I'm a haloed guy, not by any means. But I, you know when I'm doing the right thing and the wrong thing. And for the last week, I started to get cynical about religion and God and who needs it and who are they, and I can't stand them all. And you know what? The heck with it. I think I'll become a Hindu. And I think I'll get statues with arms on it just to shock the neighbors. I was reaching that point. Well, how do I know that God didn't speak to me in a quiet way and give me just a light slap on the wrist saying, go ahead, keep it up. Go ahead, we'll just put you aground in a little mud and let you float off in 6 hours, and then you'll have to go home in the dark without... Oh, by the way, your emergency radio will quit, too, which it did. Can you believe this? This thousands of dollars radio that I'd like to strangle the guy who made me, sold it to me, because I wanted the cheap one. He sold me this piece of crap. I hated it from the day I got it. It died on me just when I needed it. So now I have to go home in the dark on the bay by line of sight, no radar, no chart plotter. And you know what? I did fine because I have very good night vision. But finding your harbor at night without radar, without any guidance is very interesting. It brings you back to a different part of yourself and actually opens you up to, just different feelings. And then when I got the boat in, I will tell you I had three vodkas straight in a row. And it didn't feel bad. As a matter of fact, it felt quite good. That third vodka, by the time the third vodka hit the brain center, which I aimed for, God, if only there was a little spot in your head you could open. See, if I were to talk to God when I get there and say, look, why don't you redesign us? Here's what I'd suggest. Put a little spout on the top of the head that you could put something in and you could just pour it right in on the brain. Why kill the other cells? You know what I mean? Anyway, by the time I hit the third vodka and I was sitting on the deck looking at the boat, and she was so beautiful. I mean, I don't blame the boat. I blame me, okay? She was so good. This boat is so great. Right after the show, I got to run to the boat and I got to open up the sea strainers, which is quite a job for me. And I got to take out she ran fine, cool. I purged the mud because I ran it slowly. I don't know what's in there. I just want to clean them up. This is a good boat. She was good to me. And I'm just telling you this story. So I'm a little loopy. Yeah, that's the reason I'm miscuing and some of my words are getting slightly a slur because it was a disturbing experience. And the dogs are a little today, you know, Teddy looks hurt. As a matter of fact, when I sat on the deck with the third drink, he gave me his hind. I mean, I don't mean he gave it to me to take. He put his behind towards me. He wasn't like, oh, happy, Dad, I'm happy. We're all happy. No. It wasn't like a cartoon. It wasn't the Donald Duck and Walt Disney, the ending of the cartoon. Teddy turned his behind towards me as if to say, look what's under my tail. That's what you are, okay? I don't steer boats, right? I'm just a dog. I'm a couple of pounds. I trusted you. Okay, and you went aground, okay? Look under my tail. That's who you are. You got it? And don't even talk to me, all right? Have a nice night. All I can think about in those, you know, to me it was a big deal because I'm impatient. 6 hours sitting on a mud bank waiting for the tide to come up is a very long time. I couldn't run a generator. I had no inverter, so I had no electricity. So there were no lights in the boat, and you had to just watch the light fall and it get dark. I'm not saying we were starving or in danger, but with the two little dogs on the boat, it became more real for me. I mean, I could wait it out, you know, and I had a head to use. They didn't. I tried everything. I said, Teddy, here's the sink. I put him in the sink. I said, pee. No. Here's the toilet. Watch Daddy. Look how I do it. Stand up. No, he wouldn't do that. And I felt bad for the guy. I mean, you know, you start feeling bad for the dog. They're so housebroken, at least he is, that he wouldn't break rank with his own training.
Savage.
Our class warfare divide-and-conquer president, Barack Hussein Obama, is attempting to pretend he is Robin Hood and to redistribute the wealth from those, well, who make it on their own, who are successful, to those who don't work hard, and those who, of course, live off welfare or government handouts at the highest level, of course, such as Solyndra. Joining us right now on the Savage Nation is Ed Lasky, the news editor for The American Thinker. Ed Lasky, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you for having me on, Michael. Big fan of yours.
You write of Obama's poverty politics. Explain what you mean when you say that.
Well, behind the scenes, underneath the radar screen, Barack Obama as president is engaging the same type of maneuvers that he did as an Illinois state senator when he served in Springfield. I'm from Illinois, so I'm somewhat familiar with the sort of opaque, underhanded maneuvers that he's used to try to advance his agenda here. In Illinois, now he's doing it nationwide. And a couple of the key areas that he's engaged in this sort of redistribution of income and wealth is through Obamacare and also by recalculating the definition or redefining what poverty or near poverty is in America. And he's done it through some very, very clever, underneath the radar sort of maneuvers.
What has Obama done to redistribute the wealth? He hasn't really raised taxes yet. He's going to let the Bush tax cuts expire, but what else?
Well, I think a little noted aspect of Obamacare is that it's basically a way to redistribute income. What the Obama administration and its Democratic allies in Congress have done through Obamacare is basically strip billions and billions and billions of dollars from Medicare and is putting it into Medicaid. Now, that's shifting income from retirees or wealth from income from retirees, basically, or medical care from retirees to basically lower-income people that would now qualify for Medicaid. That's a shifting of wealth. You know, people working and depending on Medicare, all of a sudden, Obamacare reduces a lot of the safety net that they have come to expect upon, and instead that money, that medical care, will be redistributed to another group of people that the Democratic elite seems to favor. And we're given the true nature of Obamacare when Senator Max Baucus, who basically shepherded Obamacare through the Senate and who was one of the key leaders behind this effort, admitted on the Senate floor in a gaffe, I suppose, that what Obamacare was all about was income redistribution.
How else is Obama redistributing the wealth?
Well, another way he's doing it is, wealth, if you consider wealth as basically something that you can depend upon in your future, for instance, you know, for your future medical needs, that is what Medicare, that people have been contributing, our taxes have been contributing towards, we've depended on Medicare. People probably have not maybe saved as much because they thought of Medicare as a right that they would be entitled to in the future. Now, all of a sudden, that program, again, you know, has been, to some extent, eviscerated, and that money's been directed towards Medicaid instead. Little notice aspect. But another thing the Obama administration has done, and it's through the Census Bureau, by the way, is redefine what poverty levels are in America. All of a sudden, a couple weeks ago, people might have woken up to some headlines that define a huge number of them as being poor or near poor. And that was because, again, behind the scenes, the Obama administration has redefined what those measures are in a way that basically would bring under the definition of poor millions and millions of people. And they've done that by going on a community basis, looking at what the median income level is of people in that community. That's the difference between basically a measure of the average income, what consists of the midpoint between, you know, the higher income people and lower income people, what most of us would categorize as being in the middle. Well, under the census, the new Census Bureau definition, those people would be considered poor or near poor. And you know, there's a feeling that that new measurement of poverty will be provide leverage for the Obama administration to push through all sorts of increased welfare programs, which, by the way, have been increasing since he became president by six times the increase compared to previous recessions in America. So we already have a massive expansion of welfare in America and redistribution of income. And by this new, using this new definition, we're going to open up the floodgates to even more sorts of redistribution of income.
Well, we know Obama wants individuals to rely more and more on big government. So what's unusual about that?
I think that is somewhat the Democratic playbook, to create a codependency relationship between voters and the Democratic Party. What's struck me over the last couple years is, with all the travails that Obama has imposed upon the country and all the talk of how we have more people on food stamps than ever before, how the unemployment rate has skyrocketed, his base level of support always seems to be 42, 43. That just seems to be the floor. And it fluctuates from there. But that coincidentally or not coincidentally enough, is also the percentage of people in America that do not pay federal income taxes. So I think the story of 2012 is going to be the creation of this sort of envy in many people, and also the concern that they don't want, concern that their benefits may be cut back by greedy Republicans and you know, that sort of propaganda. I think that's going to be the game plan.
Why are the GOP candidates not attacking Obama more and more for his redistribution agenda? Do they not understand what's going on here?
I think they're scared. I really do. I think there might be a fear that if the GOP speaks up on this particular topic, they will be play into the Obama playbook, in a sense that they will be seen as cruel and have lacking in empathy, greedy, and we're going to hear a lot more about that sort of characterization of the Republican candidates going into 2012. I think it's just that third rail in politics is you just don't want to be seen as against people in need. But when you redefine the people in need upwards, are those people really truly in need?
Ed Lasky, thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
Thank you for having me on, Michael.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Evolving here on the Savage Nation. I knew this would come at the end of the year. I knew that God had a special plan for me. And now I have to deal with these people. But turn it off. In a 2001 Gallup poll, 45% of U.S. adults said they believe evolution has played no role in shaping humans. I guess those are the people who voted for Bush and the neoconservative view of Iraq. According to the creationist view, God produced humans fully formed, with no previous related species. Now, I happen to believe that evolution is God's tool. I'm in good company because Albert Einstein said the following. Einstein said, "Science without religion is lame. Religion without science is blind." Now, I hope you people who are religious will take the blinders off and try to understand that you don't have to reject science to accept God. So, where I begin is at the beginning. And let us begin at the beginning. What if evolution is God's tool? Darwin never said anything about God. Darwin didn't create his theory of evolution and say, therefore, God doesn't exist. Darwin never mentioned God in any of his writings. I believe it's perfectly logical to think that a divine being used evolution to create the world. You see, now I understand that the Bible in Genesis says that God created heaven and the earth and the species on it in 6 days. How then do you accord such a view with the fact that scientific evidence shows that the universe was formed about 13.7 billion years ago, while the earth was formed around 4.5 billion years ago, and that the first humans date back only 100,000 years or so? You got to understand that the Bible, whether it be the Christian Bible, the New Testament, the Quran, or the original Testament called the Old Testament by Christians, called the Torah by the Jews, the Bible dates back 5,000 years of recorded history, roughly almost 6,000 years now. So why is it so hard to comprehend that prior to God's giving us the Bible, God giving us his word, as it were, on Mount Sinai, why is it so hard to comprehend that before that, God was experimenting with his newly created planet called Earth, that perhaps he had tried life forms on other planets, they didn't work out. Maybe he didn't like what was going on in other galaxies, in other universes. Maybe he didn't like the way life worked out elsewhere, and he said, you know what, I'm going to really get it right this time. So then he tried one form of human, the Neanderthal. I should have shut my email up. One form of life, he tried another form of life, and none of them were quite right, and then finally got it right with Homo sapiens. What is wrong with that? why are you people so locked into this, I don't know how to put it, this kind of uneducated, anti-scientific view of the world? Why must you live in such a dark world? That's putting not only blinders on yourself, what you're doing to yourself is you're putting yourself into a mental burqa. You can criticize the Muslims all you want for putting their women in burqas, but you're no different. If you're rejecting science in order to believe in God, A, it shows you're a very insecure person, and you have no real faith in yourself nor in God. That's my opinion. Number two, if you're going to continue on this unwashed, unenlightened view of God, what you're really doing is turning the clock back a very, very long way. Modesto, California. Dave, agree or disagree with me?
I agree with you, 100%.
Well, how about saying more?
You talk about the creation through evolution is what I've always believed. I don't know a lot about it. I've had a friend that was into evolution. I've always been a Christian.
All right, thanks for the call. See, I don't want callers who just don't. Okay, guys, let's start from ground zero. I'm going to try not to get angry. Call screener, hello. Can you please get me callers who are intelligent and educated? Florida, Todd, we'll try you. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, thank you. I was just about to say that I think you've been educated beyond your intelligence. And
is that an insult?
No, actually, I mean, I just think that...
If it's an insult, sir, it's an insult that only you could understand because I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I think you've been classically conditioned to...
And you've been classically uneducated. So, in other words, uneducation and no education now is superior to education. You're starting to sound like Mao Zedong in China.
You said that I haven't been educated beyond my intelligence. You know, you're right.
No, no. How far have you gone in school?
To high school education. But,
well, you sound like it. So why are you challenging me, a PhD with two master's degrees, as though you know more than me? You're starting to sound like a bigger idiot than you probably are.
Well, that's my basis.
You're starting to sound like a bigger idiot than you are. You sit there thinking because you're high school educated, you know more than scientists? You're going to put down all of science because you went to high school? When you don't even understand what science is? But your preacher told you scientists are evil and they're the Antichrist? Is that what you're going to come to?
Okay, well, now I get to speak. I just think if the theory of evolution were to fall apart, you'd lose a lot of your credibility because a lot of who you are as a person yourself is wrapped up in science. So, I mean...
And who you are as a person is wrapped up in no education.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being a regular guy, but...
Wait, sir, are you saying that you distrust the educated person?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't get all that.
Are you saying that you distrust the educated individual?
It depends on what their education is in, because I know that the science of today is science falsely called science.
I see. So who teaches the true science?
God teaches the true science.
And God speaks through your uneducated pastor, is that correct?
Well, he also has a Ph.D.
Where did he get his Ph.D. from?
Congressional West Point appointment. So he is fairly educated.
He's fairly educated. He sounds like an ignoramus to me, wherever he got his degree from, because he's rejecting all of knowledge. He's rejecting all of knowledge and understanding. Will he next reject neuroscience because somehow it conflicts with his view of God? I mean, do you believe that medicine should be rejected because it's not God's will?
No, I believe that it is God's will. I believe that.
But why should you accept medicine if God didn't create that medicine? It's evil scientists who developed the medicine. And we all know that they're the Antichrist. Why would you use medication? Isn't it the evil design of man, not of God himself?
Well, its fullest extent.
Look, sir, I am not here to challenge your belief system, but I'm telling you that you need not reject all of science to accept religion and God. I don't understand where this is coming from. This seems to me a retrograde move in the United States.
I know personally that you choose to reject certain scripture where at other points of time you accept scripture.
So you accept all of scripture, sir? You are a biblical absolutist?
You better believe that. Yes, I am.
Okay. Oh, I see. So you believe in stoning adulterers and killing homosexuals and killing people with tattoos?
No, because I have not been educated beyond my belief, and I know that that 90% of the Bible was written for the Jew. The rest of it is
For the Jew. So it's the evil Jew who believes in the Old Testament, but the good Christian believes in the clean, benevolent New Testament. Is that it?
That's not what I said.
Well, you just said that the Bible was written for the Jew. Isn't that what you just said?
90% of the Bible was written for the Jew, but the scriptures that you're talking about were stoning, that was for the Jew at a particular time.
Oh, but it's not for the modern Christian who doesn't believe in evolution. The superior Christian who doesn't believe in evolution no longer stones homosexuals, but the evil Jew does?
No, I didn't say that.
Well, of course you did. You just said the Bible was written for the Jew.
So stoning was written for Jews for the 5,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, Jews don't have to stone adulterers today and they don't have to kill homosexuals today?
Well, I don't think they're... At that time, they were under what's called the law. And mm-hmm. or the Mosaic Law, and
mm-hmm. and today they're not under the law.
They are, but you're actually going into deep doctrine that I do not know, and I'll be.
Well, at least you're willing to admit there are things you don't know. For a while, I thought perhaps you knew virtually everything about Judaism and Christianity. I was then going to consult you on Buddhism and Hinduism. I didn't know if you were a religious expert, an expert on comparative religion. It's amazing what the high school educated student learns today. Thank you very much. Astonishing how much science they teach in those high schools down in the panhandle of Florida. 1-800-449-8255. Amazing to me. You know, when you scratch the surface, it's enough to put you into a sweat. The ignorance of humans will never, the ignorance, the ignoramuses in this world frighten me. They actually frighten me. Somehow it didn't scare Einstein. He said science without religion is lame. Religion without science is blind. I believe there is intelligent life beyond the universe. I see no conflict between believing in God and the theory of evolution. And I haven't the slightest idea why the unwashed, uneducated, really, the throwback religionists of our time have to reject.